Hey, everybody, let's talk about game time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need to all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and t-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
Play ball!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Freddie Freeman, simply unstoppable!
The Rich Eisen Show.
In order to win a World Series game, you have to score a run.
That is gone! It's a grand slam! Gone! It's Glaber Day.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, actor and comedian Kevin Pollak, and now it's Rich
Eisen.
That's
right. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Second to last day in October. Lots to talk about. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, TuneIn, and more. If you're listening to us, we appreciate that. Check us out every single day on the Roku Sports Channel between 12 and 3 Eastern Time live. We re-air on the Rich Eisen Channel throughout the day as well. Excited to have you here on this program. One of our favorites, every single time he appears, there's a viral video or 19 that come out of it, and it's his birthday today. Kevin Pollak's back on this program in hour number 3.
It's his birthday.
It is, wow. Indeed, and he's spending it with us. And then two of the best scribes and information men in the business in professional and collegiate football, Albert Breer and Bruce Feldman, join us respectively in hours number 1 and 2. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great. What's up, man?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. TJ Jefferson, lots of pink over there. What's going on? Well, I like it.
You know, on Wednesdays, we wear pink.
I like it. Well, today's a Wednesday. We appreciate it. Candles already lit over there.
The Bret Hart, the Hitman shirt today,
yes,
Brockman.
And and O'Shea Jackson Jr. will record the latest episode of No Contest Wrestling later on. Who's your guest today?
We can't confirm. It's the world's strongest man, former world's heavyweight champion, Mark Henry.
Ah,
we're going to have him zooming with us.
Jeff Passan did guess correctly the other day.
Jeff Passan knows his stuff, Rich. He's not just limited to just baseball.
I like
obviously.
It. I like it. So that's later on as soon as we're done.
Yep.
Keep an ear out and then certainly an eye out for it because you can check out No Contest Wrestling every single Wednesday through our YouTube channel as well. Guys, last night I was sitting around the house flipping channels, and I rediscovered this sport known as baseball.
This guy.
Just by chance?
Yeah.
Just scrolling.
Rediscovered.
9, 10, 11. Oh.
I remember this.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. It's a great, it's a fun game.
It can be. It definitely can
rediscovered
be.
Rediscovered it.
My
crazy-ass first inning. That's for sure. When Freddie Freeman
triple F
homers again. Unbelievable. And he gives the Dodgers a lead to start the game again. 4 straight games with a home run in this World Series, and they've only played 4 games, by the way, in the World Series, and then dating back to his last World Series appearance with the Braves, that's 6 straight games he's homered in.
Ridiculous.
In the World Series. You can't, it's crazy.
Freddie Ruth.
There's really no other word. Freddie Jackson? I don't know, Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Aaron?
Or hold on a minute, Freddie Springer.
Oh, that's true.
George got to give George's. You got to give George's his run.
He did homer five straight as well.
So Freddie Freeman,
Freddie Triple F, as I call him,
homers again. And this one wasn't a cookie. Like he went and hooked that one right out.
Yeah, it only went about 340.
Well, that's Yankee Stadium. Right? Yeah, that's Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And then Dumb and Dumber down the right field line. I'll call him that. Go ahead and as Mookie Betts grabs a pop fly into the stands or right near the stands, two Yankee fans. One of them rips the ball out of his glove. I've never seen that before. It's kind of wild. Like the guy is trying to rip the ball out of his glove, open the glove up and rip it out. It's the other fan that I have the most problem with. He's grabbing Mookie Betts by the wrist.
Yeah.
Like he's actually handling Mookie Betts. And fine, you want to sit here and say, and I think one of the fans was saying, we're patrolling the wall here. That's our seats, and now we play defense, and we talk about it all the time. What's going to happen if a ball goes in the stands? You're fans, and I get it, and that is the root of the word fanatic. I get it. And the ball is yours if it's anywhere near it or whatever, but the ball's in his glove. You're trying to rip it out of his glove. And the other one, just because he's trying to catch a pop fly and be a professional about it and beat your team doesn't give you the right to literally lay hands on Mookie Betts. At any rate.
We're depending on the wall like they're, Game of Thrones out there.
Exactly. You're not Jon Snow. You're like two dudes going to World Series game.
And Rich, you call them Dumb and Dumber. I take umbrage with that. Harry and Lloyd were entertaining, and they were great. Wasn't anything entertaining about what these assets
were. That dude had a sliding glove on. Like, what are you doing? Imagine sunglasses.
Chris, imagine he breaks Mookie Betts' finger.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to criticize how you come dressed to the game or whatever.
We should.
Your fans, yeah, whatever.
I don't care about
that. The dude who's ripping the glove up looks like Tim Robinson. And I think you should leave.
Yeah.
They did leave. At any rate, they missed a hell of a game. Hey, two Yankee fans trying to defend.
They'll never get back in again.
Missed. Well, I don't know. They might be back tonight. They said were told by the Yankees that they can return tonight.
That's insane. They should be banned for life.
I don't agree that they should be allowed back in the stadium for this World Series. They touched Mookie Betts. At any rate, that's my 2 cents on that subject matter. And I can understand their desperation because the Yankees are down 2-0 again. And you're wondering, like, is this it? Are the Yankees going to do anything? And then, sure enough, we were talking about how the lower part of this lineup, the lower half of the lineup from 5 on, wasn't doing anything. And there was a large hole in number 99 at number 3 in the order. And then all of a sudden, the kid from New York City, growing up a Yankee fan, idolizing Derek Jeter, Volpe.
At the 09 parade.
Takes the ball out of the yard with the bases jacked. 5-2 Yanks. And you could kind of feel the entire weight lifted. Of course, Luis Gil and the bullpen put it right back on by giving two runs up to make it a 5-4 game. But, Austin Wells, who was also a big oafer in many ways at the bottom of this lineup in the playoffs and certainly in the World Series, becomes the youngest catcher to hit a home run. There's a little bit of a breathing room and the youngest catcher to hit a home run in the World Series. 6-4, and then the dam broke in the 8th inning. And the Yankees have got to feel good about themselves right now. Judge, Soto, Volpe, Gleyber Torres, who had a 3-run home run, and Verdugo all had hits in their final at-bats. Luke Weaver looked good, and the Yankees will not go gently. And for only the 5th time in the history of the World Series, a team down 0-3 has forced a Game 5. No team that forced a Game 5 won that Game 5 and forced a Game 6. And that's why you got to feel good about Gerrit Cole going out there. And the one thing I just sat there and thought to myself after this victory happen. And the Yankees did come up with a win. And they do hand the ball to their ace tonight. I just allowed myself, if you don't mind, to kind of let my mind wander. Mike, let my mind wander. I know it's dangerous when minds wander.
Don't wander too far.
Thank you, sir.
Stay in that.
I'm just wondering, let me figure this out, almost 20 years now. 20 years. 20 years. It's all I've heard is about an 0-3 team down in that hole coming back and winning four in a row.
Yeah, it's possible. It's been done.
And by the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Against the Yankees.
Right.
I heard that for 20 years. And it all started on one magical moment when Kevin Millar got walked by Mariano Rivera. Yep. In the bottom of the ninth, down one. Who came out to pinch run and stole a base that everybody's talking about. One stolen base started it all. They won it four games in a row and went to the World Series, won four games there in a row and broke the curse. The guy who broke the curse is now the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And if the Yankees can actually start stringing them together, what better way to answer back 2 decades later? Let my mind wander. It's one at a time, though. It's one at a time. And tonight, all I'm going to say is this. If Gerrit Cole is dealing, can somebody nail Aaron Boone's butt to the dugout? 82 pitches, and he's going to give up a hit to lead off the sixth, seventh. Let him finish it. Let him go. Because that's what you need. That's what you got to have. And it's interesting, the Dodgers started a guy tonight in Flaherty who the Yankees had all acquired from the Tigers, but then had some issues with his back and then wanted to change the deal, and the Dodgers swooped in. And he wins game one. Or he's had a great start in winning game one, and now he can close out the Yankees tonight. But we'll see. It's one at a time. You had to get the first one, and they got the first one last night.
Yeah.
World Series, baby. So glad I rediscovered baseball. Just in time.
I roll.
Now then, there's news out of Indianapolis, guys.
Now we're talking.
News out of Naptown. Well, speaking of Naptown, it was a one-play nap time that may have led to all this. Yeah. Or may have been the final straw.
Probably.
I don't know.
The hammer.
But Anthony Richardson coming back from a shoulder injury that knocked him out of the last three quarters of his rookie season and thus entering this year, the ups and downs of a young player in the NFL is now happening in year two of a plan, let alone, but unfortunately not a year one of a plan, which is when you're all set up to live and die with all of that stuff. How many wins did Troy Aikman have his first year?
One, right?
Right, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So how many interceptions did Peyton Manning have his first year in Indianapolis?
28.
Not the same.
Well, I'm just saying that in year one of a plan, you're more than willing to take the ups and downs than potentially year two of a plan. And now everybody's along for the ride for another year of this plan. And last year's plan almost wound up in the playoffs anyway because Gardner Minshew was playing very well as the fill-in. And this year, they've got a much more decorated backup. When you've got the reigning comeback player of the year award and a Super Bowl MVP sitting there in Joe Flacco. Well, I was saying they still have to stick with the plan and the program with Anthony Richardson. Got to get him the reps. Can't get better if he's not playing. Living and understanding you can't throw it there, you should get out of bounds there, or if you're feeling tired, you can't come out of the game. These are the things that he won't learn unless he goes through them.
Facts.
That's the way you get better in the National Football League. Certainly
when... That's life, Rich.
It's just life in any large city or smaller city or hamlet. That's the way life goes. But yesterday we found out Anthony Richardson was going to be benched for this coming Sunday nighter in front of the whole country. NBC flexed into this bad boy between the Colts and the Vikings. And then we found out today from Shane Steichen, it's not just for Sunday night.
All right, I'll start off just by, you know, confirming Joe will be our quarterback going forward. Tough decision, but one I thought was in the best interest of our football team. I feel that Joe gives us the best chance to win right now. With that being said, not giving up on Anthony by any means. Really not. He's a young player with a ton of talent. You know, and he'll use this time to continue to develop and grow as a professional.
So let's take this one at a time here. First up, damn straight, it's a tough decision. And for Shane Steichen, I'm sure he got together with Chris Ballard, and that might have gone all the way up to the deadhead who runs the whole thing, right?
I would imagine so.
And so they got together and said, we have a chance to make the playoffs this year. Last year we did not. And that stuck with everything and everybody. You take a look at the standings right now, and you could see the Indianapolis Colts are the 8 seed, half game behind the Chargers. I mean, that's it. They are in the sniffing it column atop it right now. Unfortunately, the mistakes that Anthony Richardson did make on Sunday, again, that I keep circling back to that throw he made at the end of the first half. Boy, I think the Colts would rather have just, you know, taken a knee, handed it off to Taylor or whomever. Instead, it was an interception. Texans cashed it in for 6 right before halftime and sweeping the Colts, meaning the AFC South is kind of out the gate. I ended it that way on purpose because you never know.
Never know.
Because Flacco can really ball. We know that.
He can, yeah.
And every single coach, Kevin O'Connell, the minute he heard it's Flacco, not Richardson, I'm sure he went, damn it. All right, let's get to work. But there was a split second of damn it. He wanted the kid who is going through the ups and downs and is still learning ropes more than Joe Flacco. That's for sure. And every other Indianapolis Colts opponent feels the same way right now. That's just for the here and now. Colts had to do it. Potentially, and we'll ask Albert Breer when he joins us in a few minutes' time, the I was tired, took myself out for a play is something that Richardson couldn't come back from right now with everything going on, and that whatever leadership qualities he has shown and has gotten people in the locker room to be there for him and back him up and all the comrades in arms that he may have earned over his 2 years of being around in this facility and being a leader and being a guy that everybody is rooting for. All of that maybe just couldn't overcome it right now with his up and down play and all of that. And Shane Steichen took his finger, put it in the air, and he sensed where the wind was blowing and made this decision. But overall, just overall, that now makes 2 of the top 4 picks in last year's draft benched in year 2. Benched. And this, just like Carolina in Bryce Young, is for the foreseeable future, as Shane Steichen just said. And the only reason why Bryce Young started last week, and we'll find out how things are going with the sprained thumb for Andy Dalton, is because Dalton got in a car accident. Otherwise, you wouldn't have seen Bryce Young against Denver last week. That's now 2 of the top 4 picks benched. C.J. Stroud is the outlier. And you take a look at the draft where 3 quarterbacks were drafted the last time before this year, right? In Trevor Lawrence as well, on top of it. But you've got the three guys with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and Justin Fields and Mac Jones in that draft. Trevor Lawrence is the only one still with his team. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are wondering if he's going to get his third different head coach in short order. And wondering, where is the Trevor Lawrence from Clemson? We have, and the other guys are all on different teams. Sam Darnold, different teams, so on and so forth. We have a quarterback development problem in the National Football League. Big time. And again, if I am an owner in the NFL, if I was one of the 32, I would sit and raise an alarm bell with my colleagues in a big way, because there, but for the grace of God, go you. Now, I know, you know, Clark Hunt could be sitting there going, what quarterback development problem?
Sounds like a YP.
You know what I mean?
That's a you problem.
And any other member that has a, you know, terrific quarterback, Mike Brown might be like, you want my money to develop your quarterback? You want to come up with, like, I put money in a kitty and we figure something out? I don't know what the answer is, but when quarterbacks are constantly being thrown in this league unready and then unable to get reps when they're benched because they're unready, there's a problem. And it winds up on the field, because Joe Flacco could get Brian Flores'd in 2 seconds on Sunday night. And guess who's back in the game? The unready guy. I don't know what the answer is, but there's got to, you got to figure something out. Do you let these kids play in the spring? Do you not?
I would.
I
would let them
you
play.
Also don't want to have somebody who's got no shot to make an NFL roster roll into the ankle of your guy getting reps in a game.
That doesn't mean anything in the long run.
Fluke stuff happens all the time. You have an insurance policy.
That.
You let these kids play. It's the only way he's going to get better.
Kurt Warner will tell you, without Amsterdam, there's no American underdog.
Yeah, for sure.
He will tell you that. Well, maybe he wouldn't say there's no American underdog. He wouldn't have been ready to have had the American underdog intro to the world in 1999 without Amsterdam. The World League of American Football, NFL Europe, poof. And then all of a sudden, after those leagues go, we're starting to see quarterback problems, I think. And if I'm an owner, I'm like, we got to do something about it. That's what I think of when I see Anthony Richardson benched for the foreseeable future. The question is did the tiredness have anything to do with it? Albert Breer is going to join us next. We're taking a break, and our friend from Sports Illustrated and Prime Video will join us next. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. So with Indianapolis making their move at quarterback to Joe Flacco for the foreseeable future. Kevin Stefanski was asked if Jameis Winston's his quarterback now for the rest of the season. What do you think? No, here's what we're going to do. As soon as DTR is healthy, we're gonna bench the guy who just went 330 plus and three touchdowns.
AFC player of the week.
As AFC player of the week. Yeah, we're going to bench him. And then, we'll do? We'll just have him give the pregame speech and let somebody else play. Right? Here was his answer. Go for it.
Mentioned the other day that Jameis will continue to be the starter. Are you naming him the starter for the rest of the season, or was this a week to week?
Yeah, I mean, but as you know in football, we're all day to day.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
Hey, Kevin. I think he knows that he's one of my favorites. So I'll do this for you, Kevin. You gotta do this, Kevin, please. This is my message for Kevin Stefanski.
Okay.
When asked questions like that, have one of these ready.
The magical. Magic.
Was that Mary Kay? Another friend of the program?
Oh.
Isn't that question?
Yeah,
Kevin, probably.
I think you're right.
She asked
are you naming, is Jameis, you could just go like this, shake it up. Is Jameis my starter for the rest of the season? And it comes up. Hold on a minute. Oh, too many bubbles. I shook it too much. It says... Most likely.
Hey.
Which, by the way, is a perfect answer. I think that's what he just said, right?
Yeah,
he is, but this is the NFL. Yeah. We're all day to day. Or just keep it, keep it light, grab a magic eight ball, shake it, and say, most likely.
Let the eight ball do the work for you.
Same thing. Yeah. You're welcome, Kevin. And all of Browns fans. You're welcome. Basically what I'm saying. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, your network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. One of our favorites from Sports Illustrated and Prime Video is stopping by once again. How are you, Albert Breer?
I'm good. You mentioned Mary Kay Cabot there. She's seen some stuff in her years,
yes,
for sure.
I know. That's why she's got to ask even the most obvious questions. I get it.
Yeah,
I understand. So what's your reporting on why Shane Steichen decided to bench Anthony Richardson and then a day later say it's for the foreseeable future?
I think it's pretty simple. It's obvious to everybody in that building that he's the best option for right now. And I think the conundrum here is sort of the Trey Lance conundrum, right? Like where you have a quarterback, and I don't want to scare people with that name, but you have a quarterback who needs reps, but he's clearly not the best option for the team. And it sounds good, like the idea you take your young quarterback and you stick with him through thick and thin and you see it out and everything else. The problem is, there's 50 other guys in that locker room who don't play that position, and those guys don't care about your 3-year plan. They don't care about what your quarterback position looks like in 2026. They want to win right now. They want to be put in position to succeed individually right now, which sets them up, to make money as professional athletes going forward. And so I think kind of came to the point for the Colts where they could not sell Anthony Richardson as the answer over Joe Flacco to the locker room based on what those two guys had done on the field through the first couple of months of this year. I think the hope is that, going forward, Anthony Richardson's able to take a breath and sit and learn, and Joe Flacco gives them the level of play that Cleveland got from Joe last year and the level of play that they've gotten from Joe in spots over the first couple months of the season.
All right, two questions based off of that answer. First one, the admission that he was tired and then he took himself out for one play, did that play anything into this?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I know it's like kind of the low-hanging fruit that all of us are going to grab for.
Right.
Just talking to people in that building, Rich, I think it's like Anthony Richardson's a good kid. He's also a little naive. He's a small town kid who, didn't play a ton in college. And so, I think they sort of chalked this up to as a learning experience. He didn't know any better, I think going through this now, obviously he's learned. And look, like you and I have all heard the same things. I mean, it's like Tom Brady used to say, right? Like the only way I can show my toughness as a quarterback to other NFL players is through availability. It's through my ability to continue to answer the bell within reason every time out. And Brady said that because he knew his left guard is fighting through something that he's not dealing with, his tight end, his receiver, and all those guys have jobs that physically are more demanding than his, you know? And so I 100% agree with the premise that it's incumbent on the quarterback to be in there to answer the bell on every play. And Anthony Richardson made a huge, huge mistake in tapping out of the game. That said, I don't think that there was any sort of ill intent here. You know, I think it was just a young guy who, you know, for better or worse, didn't know any better.
And now he's in the mode of, you know, sit back, you can learn, take a beat mode. Mm-hmm. But that's what last year was supposed to be for. And then he shows up this year and he didn't look at all like he did in the first month of last year when he came out of the box and was scoring touchdowns with his legs and with his arm and looking like Cam Newton 2.0 coming out of the SEC. And so that's my question for you here is, you mentioned Trey Lance. Boy, it would have been great if the league had a development program for somebody like him. Why won't the league try and figure that out? Or where are we on that front now that we're seeing two of the top four picks from last year get benched? And
you want to call it what it is?
The
NFL didn't want to pay for NFL Europe.
That's it?
I mean, like, as I see it, look, the NFL's golden goose is college football. College football, they basically put college football in charge of developing these kids into making them stars and to making the NFL draft a sellable commodity, which I think you and I would agree it might be the second biggest event the league has now outside of the Super Bowl. College football does all of these things for the NFL, but it's also not a college football's coach to develop a player for the league. It's part of his job, but his job is to win games, you know? And so sometimes these guys do make it to the league and they're a little bit raw because, unlike, you know, the G League and in basketball, the minor leagues and baseball, the minor leagues and hockey, the minor leagues in football, they're not, their job is the primary function of the people at that level. Their job is not to develop the kid for the next level. It's just the harsh reality of it, you know? So there are going to be kids who are going to come in and be completely ready to play in the NFL. And then there are going to be others that are less ready. And the way to solve it is to have a developmental league. And the NFL did have a developmental league. And that developmental league, unfortunately, was something that they couldn't figure out a way to monetize. So they decided to pull the plug on it. So now it's on somebody else to figure out a way to create a developmental league. And I mean, how many stabs have people taken at this? In a sport that's really hard to monetize if you're not the NFL, right? Or you're not college football and you don't have that established, you know, system, you know, mm-hmm. You have that established fan base because football is an expensive sport to put on. It's not like basketball or soccer. Like the amount of infrastructure that you need to run a football league is massive. You're asking somebody else to do now what you weren't willing to do, which is take a loss to develop football players. That to me is the issue, you know, because I think for a lot of these guys, the problem isn't like they're not getting enough practice time. Now the practice rules are part of it at certain positions, but I think a lot of the kids in Anthony Richardson would be at the top of this list. A lot of the kids just need to go and play. And, you know, a Shane Steichen cannot take a full season and say, yep, we're going to throw everything overboard. Sorry, Michael Pittman. Sorry, Alec Pierce. Sorry, Jonathan Taylor. Sorry, Quentin Nelson. We're taking this whole season and throwing it overboard in the name of developing Anthony Richardson. He'll lose the team in a second if he does that. So there needs to be some function. There needs to be something to develop these guys, and the NFL used to have it. And, you know, in the end, I mean, if we're going to call it what it is, the NFL owners decided to prioritize their ability to monetize that league over one of its primary functions at the time, which was to develop talent.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So if you're a team that's out of it with a wide receiver to trade, you're in luck, right? I mean, now that the Texans have lost Stephon Diggs, we know Deontay Johnson just went to Baltimore. Who's in the market and who's available, Albert?
So teams have made calls on receivers. I think the Texans I think the Texans would be open to something. I don't know that they're going to go overboard for it because of what they have. They were pretty good offense last year without Diggs. Not to say having Diggs didn't help them. It did.
Right.
But Nico Collins is, that's not a season ending injury. He'll be back eventually. And you know, you have Tank Dell, who's a really promising second year player. Robert Woods has a ton of experience. John Metchie was highly drafted. They have Xavier Hutchinson there too. So it's not like they don't have answers in the passing game, but would they be open to it? Sure. Pittsburgh, I think, would be another team that you would look at and say, okay, they were in the Ayuk market. Maybe they would be in the market for one too. And as for the names that are out there, you know, I'd say take a look at Carolina. I know they just moved Deontay Johnson. Would they be willing to move an Adam Thielen if Thielen shows a desire to go play for a contender at this stage of his career? He's not what he was, but you know, maybe they'd be one team that would be willing to move a receiver. The Patriots have gotten calls on their receivers, and while they're not loaded at that position, maybe somebody like KJ Osborne, you know, who was the third receiver in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison the last couple of years, maybe he would make sense for somebody. So there are some names out there. I don't know that there's a superstar out there, but you know, the Texans would look at it. The Steelers, I think, would be a team that would definitely kind of sniff around at what's out there. And then maybe a third team would be the Bucs with the injuries to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Yeah. What is Mike Williams available from the Jets?
Yeah, he would be another one. So yeah, you know, what's interesting about him though, I can give you this little nugget on him. The Raiders tried to get the Jets to throw him in the trade, for Davante Adams and the Jets wouldn't do it. Now, maybe their stance on that has changed. You know, but I know that won't happen for free, if that makes sense.
Well, sure. That said, we might see on Thursday night on broadcast you're a part of, the Jets fall to 2-7. And then that's truly what would say all she wrote at that point in time. I mean, because they'd have to win 8 in a row to get to that magic 10-win mark that it does appear you're going to have. I mean, maybe 9, but you already have enough losses to teams that you'd have to leapfrog over to get that 7th and final playoff spot. Plus, there's the issue of having the ability to actually rip off those many wins when you can't even win a game since week 3. That's if they lose tomorrow night. What are you hearing about this team that you're seeing on Prime Video tomorrow night? I know Jet fans are hanging their hats on cayenne pepper concoctions that Thomas Morstead is having Aaron Rodgers drink to feel better. What do you have, Albert?
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic there. You know, I feel like a lot of people are walking around on eggshells in that building right now. I don't think it's a very healthy place in general. I think Jeff Ulbrich's doing what he can, and I think he's an excellent leader. It seems to me like there's just, like, ownership has gotten that thing in a place where it's a tough place to go to work right now. There's pressure on everybody. I think people are feeling the pressure in that building. You know, and there are a lot of guys who, you know, have not played up to their billing. Let's call it what it is, you know. Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, Aaron Rodgers himself, you know. Quinnen Williams has come around of late, but I think earlier in the year they would have said he was a bit disappointing. So, like, a lot of this is the Jets' best players aren't playing to the level that they were expected to play to. You know, and that's without even getting to some of the issues they've had that, you know, maybe they didn't anticipate. The offensive line, like, Morgan Moses is a warrior for playing through what he's played through, but I mean, he's 33 years old and dealing with a knee. You know, Tyron Smith, again, like, one of the greatest left tackles of all time, but he's clearly on the back nine. It's just, I think with each passing week, Rich, it gets harder and harder to see how this thing's going to come along. And oh, by the way, like, I think, like, you and I have talked about this, right? Like, remember, like, the concern that the players had on the firing of Saleh, right? Like, that concern was the players looked at it like, what does this solve? We've got a really good defense. You're taking the architect of the defense out of the equation, and then you're stretching the defensive coordinator thin by making him learn how to be a head coach on the fly. I think some of that's manifested now, you know, and the defense didn't play real well down the stretch against a really shaky New England team with a backup quarterback down there in there with their season on the line last week. So, it's hard to kind of pin that the Jets' problems on one thing right now, because it feels like it's a little bit of everything and it starts at the top.
When you say top, you're talking about the owner. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Before I let you go, my usual question of you, what are we not talking about that interests you, that's in your reporter's notebook, that you've heard, that you have a nice wrinkle or opinion on? Anything, Albert, you usually have good for one of those.
Yeah. Going out the door. I think like what the Chiefs do over the next few days is going to be interesting. Their vision for the offense has really been kind of firebombed by injury, right? Like, so we know Rashi Rice is done for the year. That's set in stone. No matter what's been out there, he's done. Hollywood Brown, there's a slight chance he comes back during the playoffs, but I wouldn't anticipate it. So like they go out and they get DeAndre Hopkins, who, is going to, in the short term, replace, Juju Smith-Schuster, who was replacing Rashi Rice, who, now then they have to figure out a way to use the two of them together. I just wonder if the Chiefs have one more swing left in them. If there's something that they're going to do on offense, if they have something, there's one more card for them to play, because their defense is playing really well. I don't think they want to, expend a lot from a financial standpoint because of their cap situation. It's not just where they are from a cap standpoint right now, but it's that like guys like Trey Smith and Nick Bolton and Trent McDuffie are going to have to be taken care of contractually, in the near future. I just wonder if there's something creatively they can do, because they're 7-0 and they haven't played their best. And it's crazy to think about. Like, I made this comment the other day about the Lions. Like, who, the Lions might have a move in them too. Like, the Lions, I think, will call around and maybe Brad Holmes channels his inner Ram and tries to take a big swing on a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett. I don't think those guys are moving, but maybe that's there. But you just like look at the level the Lions are playing at, and it's like you forget how the Chiefs have a better record than them. The Chiefs have the best record in football, even though they haven't played their best. So I just wonder if Brett Veach and Andy Reid have one more card to play here before the trade deadline. They traded for Josh Uche. They've already traded for DeAndre Hopkins. Is there another card for the Chiefs to play? I'll be interested to see.
And you think that card, your best guess, would be on offense? That it would be
probably
another,
somewhere.
Another receiver?
Yeah, probably something on offense. I don't know what it is, but there are real constraints there, but a lot of calls are going to be made on big name play. We know like the generation of general manager that's in charge now, right? Like, so I mentioned Brad Holmes and, he's been very restrained in the way he's built the Lions, but that's why I say like channeling his inner Ram, and taking that big swing to maybe replace Aiden Hutchinson, in the short term. Brett Veach has taken big swings over the course of his career. I don't know that it'll be one of those, but I just don't know that they're done yet, because I do think, they'll get Pacheco back. They'll get Juju back. Do they feel like they've got enough there? Okay. I think it's an interesting question to ask.
Okay. Personally, I think Mike Williams has a game-winning Super Bowl touchdown catch written all over him. But we'll see. We'll see.
Albert, you looking to offload him?
I am not looking to offload him. I look at him and I say that's this year's Mecole Hardman. Take him from the Jets. Have him win the whole damn thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing about it too is the Chiefs are they're literally the Patriots of 10 and 20 years ago in so many ways, and that's one of them. Like, how many guys went to New England and just had like life pumped back into their career?
Corey Dillon, for instance.
There were so many guys that would go there. Like when Deion Branch went back there, right? In disuse in Seattle. Now the he helped Brady win an MVP, and then the next year had 90 catches for a Super Bowl team. There are so many guys like that went to New England over those years, and they were able to pump life into those guys' careers. Brandon Browner at the end would be a good one, right? Like, you remember him, and he was a pivotal part of that Super Bowl team in New England. And on that play, the Malcolm Butler play, he was a huge part of that play, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a guy out there like that. And Mike Williams is a good name. Like, maybe that's a guy who he gets to Kansas City, and man, all of a sudden it's like, how did everybody miss on this guy?
Pretty
you know
much,
what I mean? It's an interesting thought.
Pretty much. Have a great broadcast Thursday night. Thanks for today. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated. Check out the MMQB and obviously Thursday Night Football on Prime Video right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Take a break. Phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I've got my power rankings coming up top of the next hour. Bruce Feldman in studio to talk college football. Kevin Pollak, hour three. Hey, everybody, let's talk about Game Time Tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need the all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's kind of difficult to describe to people who were unfamiliar with it, as you might have been.
Patrick Mahomes?
I have, yeah.
Have you?
Yes, I have met Patrick
Mahomes. He's one of my heroes.
Oh, is that right?
That's true.
Oh. Okay.
I root for that team, even though I've never lived there.
Yes.
I think he is just phenomenal to watch.
Apropos of...
Nothing.
I was going to talk about the season finale of Barry. And
yes.
You were talking about the season finale of two Super Bowls ago.
And I was hoping Patrick was in it.
Next time you come on,
yes.
We'll make sure Mahomes is on the phone. We'll do that.
Truly?
You like him that much, huh?
I think that his ability is such a cut above. He is so passionate in the way he plays.
Yes.
He is so... improvisorial in the way he plays. He is so sure. I just think it is instinctually great, actually.
Okay. Well, he now knows that, and we will make sure that we'll make this happen.
Yeah.
It would be my
honor.
Does
he listen?
Yes.
Patrick, hi.
He does.
How are you?
These things...
So can I just say, no, if Patrick is listening, I'd like to, you know, we make a great chicken stuffed with ricotta and spinach.
Yes.
With an unbelievable reduction. It can be yours if you're here in L.A.
Well, the Chiefs come play the Chargers, right? The Chiefs
they
play
do.
The Chargers.
They do, actually.
We'll make this happen.
Those guys are good, too.
Yeah, they
I
are.
I mean, they're good quarterbacks.
Yeah, they are.
They are not Mahomes.
That is correct. And then, of course, he did go to that Chargers game, did meet Mahomes, and the rest is history. And Henry Winkler is just one of the best humans that's ever appeared on this program. God, I love that. Back on our Rich Eisen Show radio network, all one big family. You have something over there, Chris, you want to bring up to the group?
So I saw this morning, and I thought it's a good, you know, just sports radio topic, good
yes.
bar topic, barbershop
yes.
talk it. 50 years ago today... Rumble in the Jungle happened
50 years ago.
Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman
in Zaire.
And it just got me thinking, like, one of the all-time great sporting events, you know, in the history of sports, really,
yes.
this fight. What all-time great event do you guys wish you could have been at?
Ah, that's a good one.
Maybe something for people to call, too. You know, 844-204-RICH.
Oh, look at you.
And I was just, man, boxing used to really mean something in this country. And especially a big
heavyweight
fight like this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Guys, TJ, I'm sure you're a boxing guy. I know that. Guys have the fighters that they like and they root for and they stand for. Really used to mean something. And this would be such a crazy event to look back and, you know, and be at.
Which one would I want to be at?
Any great event. I mean, I think, Mike, I mean, you might probably say Miracle on Ice. You'd want to be.
Oh, that's a good one.
In the arena.
At that.
100%
at the game.
That's a great one.
At the
one.
Game inside. You know? Not just in plastic.
Against the Russians.
Yeah. Or Rich, like Reggie's three home run 100%. Game. Maybe something you'd want to have been at.
By the way, that I would have loved to have been at that one.
The Reggie Jackson.
I would choose beating the Russians.
Yeah, that.
Beating the Russians in Lake Placid, New York, in that small barn.
Yeah.
And just watching it all play out, and Jim Craig with the American flag on his shoulder, and nobody expected it. One of the biggest upsets in the history of Olympic sports. Or pardon me, it's so big, we call it sport.
Sport,
yeah.
When you call something sport, then it really means something. I would choose that. I would have loved to have been there.
Yeah.
I remember just, being on sports blackout. We didn't listen to traffic and weather together on the eights like my parents always used to. You had to turn off WCBS radio in New York because it was tape delayed. You imagine? They didn't show that live. They delayed it.
I mean, back then in the early 80s, that was the thing. Tape delay was the thing. NBA Finals was on tape delay.
Sorry. What about you, TJ?
I mean, good Lord, there are just so many, right? Like, how can you even wear it down? But right off the bat, because I know this just had the anniversary, Game 6, 1986 World Series, the Bill Buckner game.
I was there.
I think that
you were there?
Yeah, Mike.
6 and 7. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that would have been the
TJ.
Most. And also because, I remember I had to go to bed before that game was over, so I didn't get the chance to watch it live all those years ago.
Yeah.
So I'd love to actually been there in person, and I had a bedtime and to see, what was going on.
What about you?
Just because I'm such a diehard fan now, but maybe, Game 6, the fifth game, would have been something cool to have
against
been
the
at.
Reds?
Against,
where he was
Waving it.
And
then, it becomes the iconic story in Good Will Hunting, that Robin Williams gives.
You wouldn't go 2002 when Vinatieri kicks the field goal?
Sure, but that's also something I could have been at.
Oh, I got it. You're going back.
I don't know. I was just kind of going back in time to something that maybe you wish you could have.
Well, you weren't even born yet. I mean, I was.
That's 1980.
11. I was 11 in 1980. Yeah. There was no way I was going to be going to the Olympics in upstate New York.
Yeah. Like even something like Syracuse winning the national championship. Like I could have went to that, but I had just graduated school and I had no money to road trip.
How about Babe Ruth pointing out his shot in Wrigley Field?
That's a good one.
You want to go back to some spot?
That's pretty
good. See if it really happened.
Or like Maris hitting 61, because that's something that Yankee Stadium was like a quarter full.
The Jets winning the Super Bowl?
That happened, right?
Yeah, you got to go see that just to make sure it really did happen.
just to see
you heard the stories,
come off the field with the winner.
Actually, where I'd want to be for that Super Bowl is not at the game, but poolside.
Brett Musburger
was one of the many
taking notes
members of the media who just walked into the team hotel and says, "Where's Joe?"
That's
and
amazing.
They're like, "Oh, he's by the pool."
I mean,
he told that story, right?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That they just heard that Namath and the Jets were, that Namath was available or he was in round, or they just walked in, right? And they're like, "Oh yeah, he's by the pool."
He's by the pool. Just
and
go
that's
out there.
When they all sat around the pool with him, and that's when he gave the famous guarantee.
Could you imagine just
sitting there?
Patrick Mahomes
Look at that.
Sitting.
And there's Musburger all the way on the left right there. Great job, guys,
insane.
To get that up.
That is such a great
That's
photo.
Insane.
Yeah. He was just there hanging out, and they're like, okay, let's have a little press conference.
We're going to win the game.
That's where I'd want to be, right there. And then when everybody goes, now I'm still there hanging with Joe. Poolside in South Florida, baby. Damn straight. Funny. Yeah. Phone lines are lit. Look at us, man.
I mean,
okay.
Hank so Aaron, 715. That's a pretty good one.
That's a good one.
It's pretty good. Here's one, TJ. Obviously, there were no cameras. So there's, you know, a little conspiracy.
Oh, I know.
Did it happen? Yes, did it not happen?
I already know.
Wilt's 100-point game.
Yeah, I knew you were going there with that one, right?
Oh, I got another one. Pittsburgh, Franco's catch.
Immaculate reception.
Did it hit the ground?
No, well, you wouldn't be able to see that.
Yes, you might if you're
we
there.
We have a video now that, because Andrew, one time he was hosting, and he was debating whether it really existed. So I showed him some footage I found recently.
What?
It was some footage I had never seen before of the ball actually floating through the air and Franco catching it.
Yeah.
And the ball never hit the ground.
It did not.
No.
No, I agree.
No, I mean.
But Wilt's 100-point game, people think it didn't happen?
Well, because there's no video. There's no video of it.
Oh, gosh, come on.
There's no video of it.
It didn't.
By the way, is it Sandler who did that bit?
Yeah.
Of the Wilt 100-point game.
His they call time.
Yeah, because his teammates. Wilt's got 97 points. Yeah. Hey. Time out. They go to the huddle, and they're like, hey, Wilt, I'm open. You bounced one off of this other guy's head for 2 points? Come on. That is so funny. Hey, Wilt, I'm open.
Pretty good.
That's Sandler's stand-up bit, right? I think it's a Sandler
bit. Yeah, it's a Sandler bit, yeah.
I'm open.
That gets me every time, man. Oh, man. All right, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, phone calls, my power rankings, Bruce Feldman, Kevin Pollak, don't go anywhere.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Baby S is giving me money-making moves in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have one kid who's like, I want to just live in a box and do like artistic dancing and paint. Ocean's going to be like, it doesn't matter if I'm broke, Mom. I'm passionate about it. And Baby S is going to be the one that says, passion doesn't pay bills, Ocean.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala, wherever you listen.